Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. It is the 22nd, I believe, of September. We are very happy to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you. A reminder before we do that, that you can simply join our discussion by going to roundtable@wamc.org, writing to us at that address, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan has his device in hand, ready to take your read your letters to us. So we look forward to having you take part. Roundtable@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel. Alan Chartok, of course, is here.
Good morning. Good morning, Manny Oaks from Little Acorns Grove.
And then Rosemary Armeo joins us, of course, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter and roundtable regular.
And I have nothing profound to say.
Okay. I see.
That in itself is profound.
By the end of the hour,
think about
you'll
it.
Be full of
I'll be full of profundity.
Absolutely. Speaking of profundity, we welcome Libby Post to the program, our political consultant who is with us, and we welcome Libby to the program as well. All right, let's start with the with climate events and climate news. So this is what I've learned from years of being in public radio, that it's important that we say that 18 million people flooded the streets.
Because the police said,
said two.
No, they say 350,000.
There are 18 million people flooding the streets of New York.
And I have a bridge I'd like to show.
We can lie them. We can lie just like they do. Yeah.
That's right. So the estimates, whatever. There were a lot of people there. And that's important. And they were a call for climate change taking to the streets. And this is as the UN meets for a summit on climate change and also on the UN's Day of Peace, a Peace Day, which the two went hand in hand and very much in message and in spirit in the streets of New York City yesterday.
It's great that people are finally really taking to the streets on this issue because we're not going to have a world to fight over. You know, all of this geopolitical stuff that's going on is going to be for naught because we're not going to have a world to fight over. They said in one of the articles we read, you know, expect the average temperature to go up 10 degrees and we will not be able to live as we are presently living. So we have to do something
about
this.
And it's already happening.
Yes.
And
we have to do something.
And, you know, the deniers.
They're nuts.
Well,
they're stupid, actually. They're not nuts. I apologize to anyone who...
In advance.
Right. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They want to believe junk science. And they fall into the GOP's hands in terms of denying anything with credibility and science behind it.
Right. And as I pointed out many times, that's exactly what they did to Jor-El.
Somehow, I don't think calling the 75% of Republicans who responded to a Pew study and said it doesn't exist or it isn't as bad as you say it is, calling them stupid is not going to win them over. Now is the
time, not just for street
demonstrations, but for lots of persuasive information and continual education on this.
It hasn't worked yet, Rosemary. What do you make of that?
I mean, come on.
And it's getting worse and worse. And every time there's a storm or a part of the ice pack breaks off, you make the point again. That's the only hope we have.
They think it's God's will. They see it as the second coming, Armageddon.
They see it as a lot of Democrats talking and making a big deal out of it. But, I mean, we are making progress. Right now, it was announced that the Rockefeller brothers are going to disinvest the foundation's investments in oil and gas. They're founding business here. There is progress being made. It isn't fast enough, I agree. But
progress is the size of an acorn.
Right, that broke someone's foot this weekend.
What'd you say?
That broke someone's foot this weekend. Right.
But really, Rosemary, you know, it's nice that you're jumping into the fray this way. But I don't agree with you. I think if you look the other way or if you bury your head in the sand, I don't even know that we can stop it now. when you see what's happening with the polar ice packs and the rate of increase, mm-hmm. It's so scary.
People walking with face masks on in China, you know, because they can't breathe because of the pollution, which just adds to everything, you know.
Well, it seems that there are fundamental changes that are permanent as a result of what has happened so far.
Yeah.
The question is, you know, what? How much further are we going to let it go, and when are we going to take action? One of the things, and this is a nod, a tip of the cap to our buddy Bill McKibben.
Who organized, by the way, the whole thing.
Is looking at it and saying, okay, what we need to do is to be very specific in what we're asking. So to preserve a livable planet, we have to reduce the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere from what we have, 400 parts per billion, to 350 parts per million. And now that is somewhat difficult for a lot of people to understand, but at least it's a number.
But everybody gets it.
Right. Everyone gets it. And I thought the one thing about the event yesterday was that, you know, it was pretty focused. There was a lot of different messages, people doing some strange things. Okay, that's fine. It's, you know, it's a parade in New York. What are you going to do? So, but the message was pretty clear. And I think that's what has been missing a lot of the times, when people just saying, oh, okay, well, I'll put in new light bulbs and we'll save the problem.
Yeah, but all the politicians, what really gets me is we have to do something. Then the politicians say, yeah, I'm for climate change, you know, for controlling that. And they show up. It seems to me this is really serious, serious stuff. We're talking about our lives here and our children's lives and their children's lives.
Well, what I found interesting was at the end of the story, it says, at Columbus Circle, there were bare-breasted women and people with dreadlocks and homespun clothing. There were Muslim women wearing hijabs and groups of older women with signs proclaiming they were grandmas against global warming and that gray is green. It's clear. Old, young, doesn't matter what your religion, doesn't matter what your politics are. If you recognize that this is a problem, people want something done about it.
But it's almost on the level with a world war, if you think about it. Because, you know, in a world war, you had lots of people dying, millions of people. But here, we're talking about the potential for everyone dying.
This is like our science fiction we read as a kid coming true.
I don't understand. I want Rosemary. You seem like
she has such a frown
like you're
on her
stewing.
Yeah, I don't think marches in the street, especially in New York City, have worked since maybe the Vietnam era. So I don't see that this was a great indication of anything. And two is, yeah, we have a fundamental problem of Republicans and fundamentalist Christians not believing this. So another approach
not
is
not all fundamentalist Christians.
A lot of them. We've got a lot of them, Alan, who don't believe it, who think that God will protect the planet. And so I don't see that, you know, calling them stupid or saying, oh, it's the sky's falling will do any good. People are more concerned about terrorism.
You will remember Nineveh, of course. You know.
I'll remember who?
Nineveh. You may remember Jonah. Being sent to, and
don't remember them. Do you remember them?
Unless they repented, if I have this right, unless they repented, God was going to destroy the people.
And thankfully, Jor-El stepped in.
Right, that's right. That's right. You know, if you are perturbed with me calling these people stupid, I'll say that they're ignorant. The fact of the matter is that they willfully do not want to see the facts before them, and they willfully want to think that someone else is responsible and will take care of it. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. I mean,
they feel like it's too big. There's nothing they can do, even if you're telling the truth and it is right. But here's my thing at the moment. If you cannot persuade someone to your point of view, you can do one of two things. Give up on them and say, you know, you're stupid or you're ignorant. Or you can perfect your message. You can educate better. And that's what we're not doing. I think this march was an attempt on it. But, you know, march. We've got another story in here about a march in Russia.
Well,
does that mean something, too?
Yes. Well, I don't know.
It did.
The fact that it made the front page of the New York Times, I'll tell you right now, the fact that, you know, people put up with Putin, he's got the guns, he's got the troops and the rest of it, and they're marching against him. So that's something.
I have to tell you, the March on Washington in 1987 for lesbian and gay rights, and that's what it was called back then. We didn't have the whole
transgender,
bisexual. But that March on Washington was pivotal. for our community. And it made a tremendous difference.
You think the march in New York is pivotal for climate change?
I think it's the beginning.
I think it's people coming together.
Doesn't hurt.
Right. The only way...
I just don't think it's significant.
The only way that things are going to change is if people come together.
Well, Saul says all the problem is that the Republicans have figured out how to fool most Americans with regards to global warming and many other things. The song that we should be singing is "We Shall Not, We Shall Not, We Shall Not Be Fooled." We shall not, just like a tree, ... Regards, Saul.
All right. but can you dance to it?
It's the old pizza.
You can march to it.
Yes, you can march.
No, that's different.
Oh, sorry. And sorry for singing.
We shall not.
I'll say that right now because I know I'm going to hear it when I get home.
So the question I have for you, Rosemary, is, the one thing that struck me about this event in New York is that I felt, now, again, it can get muddied in the coverage, but I thought the organizers, it was very specific as to what the message is. And this is, and doesn't that fit into your criteria of educating, of telling people of what this is? And again, back to the question I just asked you is, you know, I don't think anything like this hurts, especially when 2 points, one which Libby made about bringing all of these very disparate groups together mm-hmm. is great. And to Alan's point earlier, which I think is spot on of okay, well, you have this, the politics of it. Everybody says, oh, yeah, we're for climate change, and then you don't do
anything. Haven't done anything. Yes, our rate has actually gone up. Our rate of contributing to the problem has gone up in the past few years. Perhaps if it's tied to what Barack Obama is doing, and that is leading a Security Council session to look into a real commitment by the countries of the world to do something about it, you know.
Tom says, money, follow the money, or power? And George says, too many people on the earth. A lot must be done to keep us all functioning, thus pollution, climate change, and environmental degradation. Hard to stop a species from destroying itself. George from Kingston.
Well, with that with that happy note, we'll take a break. Yes, very uplifting. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about other issues. We have some letters to read, and we'll get back to other things. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Berkshire Pottery Tour, a self-guided tour of 6 ceramic artist studios in southern Berkshire County, Massachusetts. Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 p.m., BerkshirePotteryTour.com for map and itinerary. Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. And the Town Crier Cafe, live music and contemporary cuisine in Beacon, New York, presenting Wishbone Ash on September 27th and Ed Gerhard on October 4th. TOWNECrier.com for tickets.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Sometimes it seems more like a group therapy session.
It's better that what goes on. Really, I wish people could hear what goes on in the break.
Yeah. Terrific.
No.
We welcome your letters roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have letters.
We have. We do. Paul says, Libby nailed it. Party and religion before humanity, the deniers simply won't even try to understand. Time to pass them by. Last chance for us to get to work. And Rosemary is wrong. The climate deniers are stupid. They are ignorant, and we're well past winning them over. Time for them to get on board or get out of the way. We now need a massive global effort led by the USA and China, the greatest contributors to greenhouse gases on every front, and there's no time for being nice about the deniers' feelings. All the best. from Paul.
Well, Paul, if you could do something, then all these people who are in favor of it, including you and Libby and Alan, why haven't you done it already?
Well, we keep trying, but
and they're in your way. Get them out of your way.
Well,
so it's up to you then if you don't want to win them over.
Okay. So
you know, you're so black and white.
So what?
It's just so black and white.
Oh, black and white. I thought you said fracking.
No, no, no. It's just black and white. And you
black
know,
and white fracking. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's the hearing problem. Right. But, you know, change takes time. Changing people's minds takes time.
That's right. You know, I agree with that.
And raising this issue to a point where it's going to be, you know, critical mass, it's taking time.
But unfortunately,
the clock is ticking.
Right.
Okay, and Andy says, people have a hard time discerning climate change from weather. For example, last winter was very cold, yet we are undergoing global warming. Second, tie in a lack of understanding of the scientific method and people's disdain for government, and the Republicans have a great issue to use as a wedge. That's from Andy. And then from Gary, please ask Rosemary if she doesn't think that 400,000 marchers in one city is significant. What does she suggest we do?
Well, I'm in favor of what Barack Obama is doing, a meaningful discussion in front of a body that can do something. And I would like for 400,000 marchers to mean something. But I recall before we went into war in Iraq, there were the biggest peace demonstrations, marches around the world. They were barely covered and they didn't make any difference. So, I mean, I'm a child of the 60s. I would love for a march to make a difference. It did then. Hasn't since.
Okay, so Adam, good morning. Near the start of today's 9:19 roundtable, there was a song that played.
No, that's something else.
I'm just reading them as they come in.
That's 9:19. That's okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it was just released
from the spam filter. That's okay.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Oops.
Well, then I guess that's it, right?
It's pretty funny. Andy Borowitz has a piece today. The largest climate change march in history, unlikely to convince idiots.
There you go.
He sides with you.
Well, no, but we're on the way. I mean, it can't hurt to have done it. It can only help.
Despite bringing attention to a position that is embraced by more than 90% of the world scientists, the People's Climate March left a broad majority of the nation's idiots unconvinced.
I like it.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about other issues, and I'm sure we'll find ways to get along and find common ground. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is very nice to have you with us on this Monday morning. Alan Chartok, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, they make up our panel this morning, and you do too. All you have to do is write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll get to our next topic in just a moment. Before we do, let us get to...
The mail.
Oh,
yeah, let's do that. Okay, Jack, J-A-C, the person who just pointed out that people have a hard time distinguishing between weather and climate change, just demonstrated this without his comment. Last winter was not extra cold. It was actually warmer than average. However, he saw it as extra cold because it was in his backyard. We need to have a global perspective if we are going to educate the U.S. The people in the Southeast United States are beginning to get it because their backyards were warmer. Too late, we will all get the message, I'm afraid. That's from Jack, J-A-C. And Jeff says, dear panel, I agree with Rosemary. Calling names will not further the cause. Education is the answer. I also believe that the time is running out with regard to turning things around for the planet. Some would say that we have already passed the tipping point, which is my personal opinion, and mine, by the way. Time will tell. Marches are fine, but real action from all nations and political leaders will be required to change our future. And insulting people by name-calling will not encourage people to work together. Best regards from Jeff.
Oh, I like Jeff's letter.
Well, I bet you would. I don't agree with him. Okay, and let's see here. And Chris says, no, he doesn't either. And Williams says, Rosemary's right. This is not a new fight. If repeating the same statements over and over again isn't helping change minds, perhaps the flaw is in the statement. Billy. Whoa. And Anthony says, there seems also to be deniers regarding the dominance of coal use in the world. Why isn't there as much a call to improve coal burning? Wouldn't a 50% improvement do more than in the short run than any alternative? America can and should lead this. The world needs time to replace fossils, and that's from Anthony. And from Franz, a famous musician. I was one of the 400,000 people who attended the climate march yesterday. I'm a lawyer and policy expert who spends every day working on climate change policy and clean energy in this country. Rosemary is 100% correct that we get nothing done by calling people stupid. Republicans are human beings with children and grandchildren, and there are plenty of Republicans who are in favor of climate change action. You do the issue a big disservice by making it about us versus them. And I guess that's it, huh, Joe?
Looks like it. Yes. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a couple minutes before we go over to a break. Let me try to get as many topics in as we can. Let us talk about the president at the president in the UN. President Obama will preside this week over an unusual meeting of the UN Security Council, poised to adopt a binding resolution that would compel all countries to put in place domestic laws to prosecute those who travel abroad to join terrorist organizations and those who help them, including by raising funds. The resolution proposed by the U.S. would also, for the first time, establish international standards for nations to prevent and suppress the recruiting of their citizens by terrorist organizations and bar the entry and transit across their territory of suspected foreign terrorists.
Good. I'm in favor of this. I wish that the UN were more effective in a number of places where the U.S. could use support. And one is peacekeeping, and another is something like this, where climate control requires global action. I think it's largely symbolic, but it gives Obama, who can be a great orator, a chance to go on the world stage and talk about this. So I'm going to watch this, and I hope that he is as good as he can be.
You speak for me, too. I agree with everything you just said. Rarely do I I do.
Yeah. I think this is a great opportunity to talk about terrorism on a national stage.
Terrorism.
No, that's what this is. He's talking about terrorism on this, with this. This
that
is
global.
No,
global
not the
warming.
Global warming. This is they're going to do a binding resolution around UN. Countries not being able to let people immigrate and all that sort of stuff, and if they want to join a terrorist group.
Right.
While it is binding because it's under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, it's still going to be hard to enforce. But at least it brings this conversation beyond the United States and ISIS, and it brings it to a much higher world stage where everyone will have, all the countries will have an opportunity to be part of the fight, because no one is going to benefit with the proliferation of this kind of terrorism.
Well, you know, Olivia, it's so interesting that some of these countries can tell you exactly how many people.
Right, and who they are.
Getting, and you know, we've got 60 people who are actively engaged there. That's amazing, don't you think?
Yes, I do think so.
I think we're going to get resistance from this in our own diplomatic relations with Turkey, which has so far resisted efforts to close its border. And you could see this weekend one reason for that. They got from ISIS a bunch of diplomats.
Did they have to pay for them?
Well, I think that part of the negotiations had to do with ISIS recruiting people across their borders. People are moving across Turkey.
Yeah, what did Turkey have to promise in order to get those people back?
Yeah, I think that was definitely part of the deal to get their people back.
Well,
they're not Americans. They're not the West.
Who, the Turks?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's why.
Yeah.
That's why what?
That's why those folks were able to return.
I do want to, just before we go to a break, because we mentioned it before, and I just want to make sure that everybody got to talk about it, but thousands of people marched peacefully through the streets of Moscow on Sunday to protest against the conflict in eastern Ukraine and the Kremlin's support for pro-Russia separatists there. Under the close watch of riot police, demonstrators carried banners saying, "No to war, hands off Ukraine, and Russia will be free." Many waved the blue and yellow flag of Ukraine. And Ukraine and its Western allies accuse Russia of arming the separatists and sending troops across the border to support them.
What I found fascinating was no one was allowed to speak. They could march.
So they played the Beatles.
But they had no, right. They but they had the no speakers, so they played the Beatles. I thought that was very interesting and glad they could play the Beatles.
But it also takes some guts, doesn't it?
Yes. I thought it was great that people went out and got on the streets because every time, or many, many times in the past, when people got out on the streets in the streets of Moscow, you'd have the Cossacks or the Tsar's men or whoever's men come out on horseback and whatever and beat them up and kill
By
them.
By the way, so. This is not unknown here now either. So, I mean, you may not have Cossacks.
The Occupy Wall Street actions. Oh, yeah. The police did not behave well here.
But this is not unknown.
I think this march is interesting because I've said all along that I didn't think Russians really were backing him on this, Putin in this. And yet the polls that are released, if we can trust those any more than we can trust his behaving well during public displays against him, show that he does have great support from his people. So I'm not sure what's going on
here. Who's doing
the
polls?
Yeah, who's doing the polls and what do they really show? But I can't imagine that Russians, the Russian people, who want an economy that allows the sort of consumerism we have here, are real happy about extending the boundaries again of the Russian Empire. So it's very heartening.
3,000 people have been killed since the fighting began in April, which we should note. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and we will talk more, get an update on our lockbox, and also talk about other issues in the news. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Autobahn Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of imports, specializing in late model Volkswagen, Audi, and BMW, autobahntechnic.com. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, with a new juice bar now open at the Rhinebeck location with over 30 varieties of organic juices and smoothies made to order. SunflowerNatural.com. And the Pride Center of the Capital Region, presenting the 2014 Pride Center Gala, honoring individuals and businesses who support the LGBT community, October 24th at the Hilton Albany in downtown, CapitalPrideCenter.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Before we get back into the issues of the day and talk about what's going on in our world, and we welcome your comments to do so, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us find out how we did over the weekend in our lockbox challenge. A reminder, the fund drive begins October 6th.
How far away is that?
That is, I believe, two weeks.
Boy. 14
right?
days.
14 days.
No wonder I have no fingernails.
You don't. Nubs.
No, I'm really worried.
So set it up, Alan. We have 2 weeks to get to the $300,000 point in the drive so that we can get a very important challenge.
Yeah, there's $25,000 to do our control room over from the Lennox Foundation. It's absolutely imperative. That counts as part of the lockbox, obviously, because that's what we do with our money here. We fix the station. That's part of it, we need to make $200,000 to get that. Over the weekend, we heard from our friend Alan Sagner, who said he'd give another $5,000. But I know this guy, and he says only if we make the 25. So now it's 30, and it's and the problem, of course, is if we don't make the 25, then we don't even get that extra $5,000. So this is really imperative that. because we are a community, because we are all together in this, because we listen to this radio station everywhere I go. I went to a wonderful thing for the Great Barrington Fairgrounds yesterday. At least four or five or six people came up to me and said, are we going to make it? You know, I'm doing everything I can. It's a community, and there's no two ways about it. There's nobody here who can just plop the money into the box.
So where are we right now?
We're at $184,539 as of this
morning. So we have 2 weeks to make what?
We got to make about $8,000 a day. We need
No, forget about that. What do we need altogether?
$115,461.
Now remember, folks, that we often make $100,000 quite often in a day during the regular fund drive. So it should be doable if everybody is of the mind that we can do this. And in the past, that's what saved WAMC from the first day. It's when everybody decided we can't do without it. I listen to it. I'm part of it. It's my community. I'm going to do it. If I'm a Republican or a Democrat, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it.
$125 will get you a really cool mug.
Right. You can have your name put right on it.
Yep.
Excellent, and that'll go a long way. That'll go into the lockbox. That's something that's only available during this time before the fund drive. Yep. And an incentive, if you will. And we'd like to get things rolling. We need $115,000 to make the challenge, and we have 14 days to do it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's do it.
We can do it.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Megan Finnegan, thank you very much for calculating and being with us and sharing this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We welcome your all you have to do, by the way, is just WAMC.org, and
that's
then there's
all.
Just a lockbox.
Yeah, just a lockbox.
It's really easy. It's just super simple. So do that. Let's go back to the issues of the day, and we can talk about older voters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are stepping up their appeals to older voters in the final stretch before the midterm elections, spurred by polls showing the party has regained some support lost in the Obama years. The question is whether they can narrow the gap with Republicans enough to offset their broader disadvantages given widespread dissatisfaction with President Obama.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I quite understand all of that, but yes.
Well, no, the polls are showing he's in trouble.
Right.
His ratings are not good. However, older voters vote in much larger numbers, I believe, than younger voters, and therefore they are a crucial group of people that you got to get with you. If there is a single thing that will get my attention, and I think attention of a lot of other people, it's the question of Social Security. You know, you put in for your whole life, mm-hmm. and then you expect when you're there that it's going to be there for you. And we do know that in the past there have been, I'm not going to name names because you know, everybody's running for it. Republicans are running away from it now. People who for years were talking about modifying the Social Security system, quote, modifying or changing it, are now saying, I never said that. I'm not for that. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, the Democrats, quite correctly, they sit around a table just like everybody else does, and they decide what is it that will appeal to people. Now, the secret here, to me, is what does the middle class, including middle class older people, think about programs which which basically redistribute resources in the United States to poorer people. They don't like it. So if you're going to deal with that, mm-hmm. And that's how Republicans win, if you're going to deal with that, then what you have to do is create the awareness of how you got Social Security. I'm watching the Roosevelt.
That's right. I just saw the episode
just
last night.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful, wonderful piece of work. Social Security changed everybody's lives.
It did.
How do we make that required viewing for every human on the planet?
Yeah, I don't know, but it really should be. It's been great, but I watched the episode last night because we've been DVRing,
mm-hmm.
that showed when they started Social Security.
I'm 15 years behind.
Yeah, right. Okay. when they started Social Security, and yes, indeed, the impact it made on people's lives. What I find interesting is that today's senior citizens are the people who were marching against the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And, you know,
right.
And so
we're the baby boomers,
right? The baby boomers, and we can see how the politics have changed because these are folks that you would have expected, since when they were young and on the streets and protesting the Vietnam War, you know, right. would be a little more progressive, but they're not.
I've always enjoyed the cloud of the baby boomers, and I hope that it will be, I'm seeing it, that we're going to keep Social Security at least as long yes. as we're alive. I'd like a cure for arthritis, and I'd like them to do something about this death thing, too. That's yeah. beginning to weigh on
death
me.
Death or death?
Death.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah. But it's
debt
interesting.
Too. Debt, yeah, too.
It's
you
interesting.
Got a point.
One local congressional campaign. And if you want it to remain nameless, it will. But a woman who was running for Congress in the North Country ran away from...
Actually, that's not the one I was thinking
okay.
from.
So yeah. Elise Stefanik...
I was thinking going down on the Hudson Valley bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Elise Stefanik ran away from a
direct
press
question.
Event. Direct question about what did she want to do about Social Security. And now she's got ads saying, I'm going to protect Social Security for the people who are seniors now.
Yeah.
Without
that's,
any,
it's my vote.
Without
my
any
vote.
Promise for you, for me and Joe.
Right.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Youngsters.
That us youngsters.
Well,
in the
on
room.
Behalf of my age group, thank you, Elise.
Right. Yeah. Well, so she's pandering to, she's pandering to the seniors. And
I always
you know,
love my great grandfather retired in the month before Social Security went into effect.
Oh,
so
boy.
He put 1 month of contributions in, and he lived until he was 98 years old.
And did
so
he get money?
Every month. So I think my family is out ahead already, still on Social Security.
I have to say the ad that that Wolf is
that
running,
Wolf's running
Aaron Wolf,
against her
is showing that is very effective. I have to say, it seems like it was a.
But a I've seen the Brooklyn hipster ad against Wolf by the Stefanik or by the Republican
right.
campaign committee.
Right.
You know, saying that he's a carpetbagger and his restaurant got a lot of health code violations. Well, whose hasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real, especially downstate. So. It was. It's going to be interesting. He's trailing in the polls, though.
That's
and,
interesting.
But I guess Nan Hayward took a hit, and is
on what
on in polls.
Oh no,
she's
behind.
Well. Yes.
She's,
why is that? What's her?
Well,
what's
I don't really
fault?
Know.
She's out of step
you know,
with that district. I'm sorry, she is out of step.
Well, she was very right wing.
Yes.
Every time I had her on the congressional corner, you know, and she would talk on the issues. It would be, as Libby just suggested, the Republican talking points that get sent out, you
yes.
know, from Washington. Now I think she knows what cost her the last time when she lost. But you know, people get into those voting booths, mm-hmm. and they have criteria which we don't even think about.
And she'll be on the congressional corner tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's security of the White House. Anybody want to?
Wow, what a story!
I
that
don't
is.
Get
oh my
didn't
God, they didn't lock
do
the door. Yeah, then another guy did. Well, I haven't let
Olympic
him set
event.
It up.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's
right.
20
storming
seconds to run from the gate to the door, which is unlocked.
The Secret Service is considering screening tourists and other visitors at checkpoints before they enter the public areas in front of the White House in response to the episode Friday, in which a man with a knife managed to get through the front door of the president's home after jumping over the fence on Pennsylvania Avenue, according to law enforcement officials.
Do you know how many billions of dollars we pour into security?
Yeah, absolutely. And now we're going to have to go through a metal detector to stand in front of it. That's a solution as opposed to they have dogs, they have snipers, they have locks on the door, none of which were employed. I think the review of the Secret Service is more in order than any other measures.
Well, yeah, but you know what's
the
interesting is they
gate.
Didn't fire. They didn't shoot.
Right.
And I like that. I mean, you know, I mean, because
well,
the guy's
this
not
is
dead.
A very disturbed man who served yeah. his country. He's had three
yeah.
tours in Iraq.
But they didn't know that.
They did know it, of course, at the time. And the real danger, of course, is that if one man could do it, what if there had been 15 or 20 that
And then
time
the other thing
this?
Is they're thinking of taking, locking them off of everybody else walking in front of the White House. You
they
see.
Can't
exactly.
do that.
Well,
they
I mean,
just,
what about yeah. that whole nonsense about it's the people's house? And, you
yeah.
know, you
yeah.
know, they, well, isn't that true? And I thought, I mean, having been there recently, I mean, the security, I don't know how, like, once you put
week,
a
yeah.
foot, once you put a foot up on
the
that
alarm
gate,
goes off.
I can't imagine mm-hmm. that they're not, you know.
Here's the thing. They have an adequate security system.
They just have
but
to
it didn't
it.
Work.
Right.
It did not work. And that should be the first step before we start shooing people away from the White House.
Well, I have to say, I find it sort of, I know why it's done, but I do find it a little offensive when I drive down State Street and past the Capitol and I look to my left and there's that big gate
that
and
gate.
Only certain cars allowed. And it's just like a fortress. And it happened after 9/11 and Pataki put all of this stuff in, Jersey bumpers and the whole nine yards. And it's like a it's but it's the people's house and it's a fortress. And I don't know. I get why they're doing it. I just really don't like it.
Nope, I don't either. It's one of those things we've given up many of our liberties in the name of safety.
It's one of those things that you and I agree on.
I know. That's rare, Libby.
I knew we would all come around. It'll all come around to peace.
So you said areas of agreement.
Okay, and I just want to say.
Okay, we're out of time. We're out of time.
Yay for Mr. Citrus.
Okay, yeah. All right, we'll talk about Mr. Citrus at another time. I love that story. We love your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org.